Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass by Professor David Engelsma. Chapter 5, Premillennialism, Part 1, Orientation, Part 1. Every idea of a millennial dominion, with its throne established in Jerusalem, in connection with previously resurrected Jews and Gentiles, converted unto him, is contrary to the entire economy of the sacred scriptures, and as such must be rejected, and thus be destroyed root and branch in the heart of the brethren. A quote by Abraham Kuyper in Chileism or the Doctrine of Premillennialism. All prophecies which speak of Israel, Jerusalem, and Zion, and which even after the coming of Christ still await their fulfillment, must be understood as pertaining to the spiritual glory of the true church of the Lord after his return. Any other interpretation of these prophecies as a return to the ministry of shadows, which is ended once and for all, and to which there is no return without causing the Christian to become a Jew again, that is to say, without denying the fulfillment of all prophecy in Christ our Lord. A quote by Abraham Kuyper in Chileism or the Doctrine of Premillennialism. The Church of Jesus Christ in her orthodox development has ever condemned Chileism as heretical. Abraham Kuyper, Chileism or the Doctrine of Premillennialism. In our study of the biblical truth of the millennium, or thousand years, Revelation 20, we move from postmillennialism to premillennialism. Thus we move from fantasy to absurdity. Such is the foolishness of premillennialism, or, more fully, dispensational premillennialism. That the Reformed Christian might be tempted to suppose that a critique of premillennialism is unnecessary. That the risen, exalted, glorious Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Revelation 1, verse 10 through 18, should reign, bodily, on a material throne in the city of Jerusalem, in the country of Palestine, in the historical flow of this sinful world. Among sinful people, including reprobate sinful people, for 1,000 years before history ends, is absurd on the face of it. That during this 1,000 years, the ungodly should scheme against this glorious king, and finally dare, and be able, to launch an attack on him and the seat of his power with jets, tanks, and machine guns, beggars the Christian imagination. Indeed, by virtue of its vaunted commitment to the literal understanding of Old Testament prophecy, premillennialism is bound to teach that the ungodly will some day attack the exalted Christ in Jerusalem with horses, swords, bows and arrows, and hand staves, Ezekiel 38 and 39. That in the course of history Christians should suddenly, mysteriously disappear from the scene, while time goes on and history continues, the farmer from his milking stool, the mother from her preparation for supper, the husband and father from the midst of his family, the young man in the Christian high school in the midst of his jump shot on the basketball court, and the bus driver from his seat, as the properly ridiculous sign, in case of the rapture, this vehicle will be driverless, warns, is silly, the stuff of jokes. Against such foolishness, against such absurdity masquerading as the biblical gospel concerning the last days, the Reformed faith is firmly closed. Because the fantasies of postmillennialism, the Christianizing of the whole world, the earthly political reign of the saints, and a coming golden age within history are defended and aggressively promoted by Reformed and Presbyterian theologians within the Reformed community of churches, a thorough critique of postmillennialism, such as I have just concluded, is in order. Dispensational premillennialism, on the other hand, is both so entirely outside the sphere of Roman Christianity, Reformed Christianity, and so foolish that a Reformed teacher might be tempted to limit his critique to the bare statement that premillennialism is unreformed and ridiculous, or to ignore premillennialism altogether. John Calvin was right in his judgment of his Chilius of his time, who limited the reign of Christ to 1,000 years, that their fiction is too childish either to need or to be worthy a refutation. The temptation simply to ignore premillennialism, however, must be resisted. First, premillennialism is a theological explanation of the 1,000-year period of Revelation 20. A thorough study of the millennium, therefore, ought also to take premillennialism into account. Second, by contrasting his amillennial belief with the premillennial error, the Reformed Christian will better and more clearly understand the truth he confesses. Third, even though premillennialism is unreformed from stem to stern, and is not the internal threat to the doctrine of the last things for Reformed Christians that postmillennialism is, premillennialism is prevalent and popular in Christian circles. Likely, a majority of Christian churches today proclaim the gospel of premillennialism and entertain themselves of a Sunday evening by producing and studying elaborate premillennial charts. Multitudes of professing Christians believe, support, and witness to the premillennial gospel, making their blessed hope of Titus 2 verse 13 the rapture of themselves out of the world and its history at any moment. It is profitable, if not required, therefore, that the Reformed Christian know what premillennialism is, and why the Reformed faith rejects it, root and branch. Fourth, although the Reformed faith renounces premillennialism, and the Reformed creeds condemn it, the sheer prevalence and popularity of the eschatological error have their subtle influence on Reformed Christians. Almost unconsciously, Reformed Christians are seduced by the error. For 14 years, as pastor of a Protestant Reformed church on the south side of Chicago, I moved in the large Reformed community in that area. During that time, I observed that that community was heavily influenced by the radio broadcast and periodic Christian conferences of the Moody Bible Institute, or MBI, in Chicago, a premillennial organization. Reformed men and women who regularly tuned in to the radio station for Christian programming and who attended the effectively advertised religious conferences would speak freely of the impending rapture of the church out of the world. While history continues, as though this were standard, Orthodox Christian and Reformed doctrine. Such influence of premillennial media and propaganda upon Reformed Christians and Christianity is not limited to the Chicago area. Enormously popular of late have been the books of fiction known as the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. They popularize fictitious premillennialism by the genre of writing that befits the heresy fiction. It is not impossible that Reformed Christians have wasted their time. It is not impossible that Reformed Christians have wasted their time and even corrupted their minds by reading this series. Evidently, Abraham Kuyper had similarly noticed the influence of premillennialism upon Reformed church members in his day. He began his criticism of premillennialism with the observation that this is a rather delicate subject to touch upon, also within our Reformed circles, in the Netherlands in the early 1900s. A warning against premillennialism, therefore, has its value for Reformed Christians. Reformed Christians must know that premillennialism differs radically from amillennial orthodoxy, and what this difference is, rightly dividing the word of truth, as is commanded by God of the preacher and theologian in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Includes rightly explaining and understanding the word of truth about the last days. As the next verse in 2 Timothy 2 points out, right explanation of the truth about the last days, as about all aspects of the Christian faith, must shun profane and vain babblings, that the apostle had specifically in view babblings about the truth of the last things is evident from verses 17 and 18. Paul mentions two false teachers of his day, who, concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already.